25. Wax passed from the temple's vestibule onto the landing outside. Edworn Ladrian, his uncle, stood at the top of the steps just beneath the statue of the Lord Ruler. Wax was accustomed to seeing this man in a sensible suit, surrounded by luxury, so it was somehow both strange and satisfying at the same time to find Edworn in a thick coat, hood up, fur brushing cheeks red with the cold. His beard was stuck with snow, and he smiled at Wax, gloved hands resting atop an ivory walking stick. Marcy knelt in the doorway, her rifle trained directly on him. Edworn stood alone, though his people, at least 100, perhaps more, were setting up tents and dumping supplies in piles on the stone approach.
"Waxilium," Edworn said. "Speaking out here in the cold would prove unpleasant. Might I join you and yours inside?"
Wax studied the man. What trick was he planning? Edworn would never place himself solely in Wax's power, would he? "You can put the gun down," Wax said to Marcy. "Thank you." She rose, hesitant. Wax nodded to Edworn, who cheerily walked through the doorway. Edworn was a stout man, plump and round-faced. As Wax stepped into the doorway after him, Edworn pulled off his gloves and put down his hood, revealing a head of hair that was more silver than black. He removed his parka. Beneath it, he wore stout trousers, suspenders, and a thick white shirt. However, as he folded the parka over his arm, his cheeks returned to a normal color, and he stopped shivering.
"You do know what the medallions do," Wax said.
"Certainly," Edworn said. "But their reserves of heat are not eternal, and we don't know how to refill them. We had to reserve their use for those who were suffering greatly from the cold during our trip."
He glanced toward Alec, who had moved up beside Marcy, taking her arm in one hand and staring death at Edworn.
Tilson, Wax thought, seeking the woman out. If she shot their uncle as she had that man in the warehouse.
She stood all the way across the vestibule, just outside of it, in the hallway with the traps. Wayne had wisely sauntered over and stood nearby, back to the doorway. He nodded lazily to Wax. He was watching her.
"I see you stole one of my savages," Edworn said, gesturing at Alec. "He taught you to use the medallions, both heat and weightlessness?"
Wax pursed his lips and didn't reply.
"No need to act stupid, nephew," Edworn said. "We could judge their nature from the type of metals involved, of course. It is a pity we didn't discover the smaller flying machines hidden in the large one. That would have made my trip so much easier."
"Why did you come here, Uncle?" Wax demanded, stepping out of the doorway and casually putting his back to the wall in case there was a sharpshooter outside.
He noticed, impressed, that Marcy had done the same.
"Why did I come? For the same reason as you, nephew. To find the weapon."
"I meant," Wax said, "why did you come in here? To be taken by me? You're giving yourself up?"
"Giving myself... nephew, I came to negotiate."
"I have no need to negotiate," Wax said. "I have you now. You're under arrest for treason, murder, and kidnapping. Alec will stand witness against you."
"The savage," Edworn said, amused.
"I also have..." Edworn wrapped his cane on the stones. It was banded in metal. Foolish. Wax could use that against him.
"No need, no need," Edworn said. "I am not in your custody, nephew. Stop entertaining this fantastical delusion that you can achieve anything by harassing me. Even if you were to somehow drag me back to Ellendale and throw me in a cage, I'd be released in days."
"We'll see," Wax said.
He raised vindication, pointing it right at Edworn's head.
"Run. Give me an excuse, Uncle. I dare you."
"So dramatic," Edworn said. "Did they teach you that in the roughs, then?"
He shook his head.
"Have you looked outside? I have 20 allomancers and ferrochemists here, son.
all well-trained and all ready to kill. You're in my custody, if anything."
Wax cocked vindication.
"Lucky that I've got you, then."
"I am not so important to the set as all that," Edworn said with a smile. "Don't think they wouldn't shoot through me to get to you. But it won't come to that. You won't use me as a hostage. What would there be for you to gain? We've already dug out your little flying ship. You aren't getting out of here alive. Not unless I order it."
Wax clenched his jaw as Edworn walked to the side of the entryway and settled down on the stone shelf there. He fished in his pocket and brought out a pipe, then nodded in greeting toward Steris, who had been seated on the shelf but immediately moved away.
"Could I borrow that lantern?" Edworn asked.
Steris held out the lantern. He stuck a lighting stick into it, then used that in turn to light his pipe. He puffed at it a few times, then leaned back, smiling pleasantly.
"So?"
"What do you want from me?" Wax said.
"To accompany you," Edworn said.
He nodded toward the hallway beyond.
"Our interrogation of the savages, now that we've been able to force them to speak properly, indicates that there is a hallway full of traps beyond here, and—"
Edworn hesitated.
"Ah, so you've been through the traps, have you? Then you know about the door?"
"How do you know this?"
Alex said, stepping forward, fists clenched. Marcy put a warning hand on his shoulder, holding him back.
"What have you done to my crewmates?"
"You've made yours talk too, I see," Edworn said. "A pity the Lord Ruler gave his fantastic knowledge to them, don't you think? Barely men. They must hide there."
"How do you know?"
Alec continued, speaking more loudly.
"About the hallway, about the door."
"Your captain knew many things you did not, I believe," Suit said. "Did she tell you about the group of hunters she carried as sub-captain in her youth? How she got them drinking and listened to their secrets? They were planning to return here, she said, for the prize."
"My captain,"
Alex said, voice strained.
"She lives?"
Suit smiled, puffing on his pipe, then turned to Wax.
"I can get you through the door. I have the key, passed from the lips of a dying priest to a doomed hunter to an airship captain, and now at last to me."
He spread his hands, smoking pipe in one.
"You're trying to trick me," Wax said, narrowing his eyes.
"Of course I am," Suit said. "The question is, can you best me? Without an accommodation, we are at an impasse. My men outside can't get in here. It's too fortified a position, and we can't risk explosives lest we damage the prize. You, however, can't get out. You can't get the bands without my help, but you can't pass my army of allomancers either. You'll starve in here."
Wax ground his teeth. Rusts, he hated this man. Edworn, Suit. He was the infection that ate at the wounds of noble society, spreading his disease, bringing fever. He was the very definition of the games Wax hated.
"Maxillium," Telson said from the doorway. "Don't trust him. He'll trick you. He'll win. He always wins."
"We'll try it your way, Uncle," Wax said reluctantly.
"I'll let you open the door, but then you must return here."
Edworn sniffed.
"I get to go inside, past the door, see what is there. Otherwise, you'll get no help from me."
"You'll be under guard. I'll have a gun to your head."
"I have no objection to this."
He puffed on his pipe, held the smoke in his mouth, then let it out between the teeth of his smile. Wax gave his uncle a thorough frisk. He had no allomantically reactive metal on his body, save for that on his cane. But he didn't have any aluminum either, at least not in a large enough concentration to be dangerous.
"You first," Wax said, waving his gun toward the doorway. He ignored Telson's glare.
Wayne stood up and held it to the side as Edworn sauntered through, trailing pipe smoke.
Marcy fell in beside Wax as he followed, gripping her rifle with white knuckles. Alex, Steris, and Milan came next. Wayne and Telson took the rear, keeping Wax's sister as far from Uncle Edworn as possible.
"You're sure about this?"
Marcy asked as they passed rubble, strewn spears, and darts. Wax didn't answer. He thought furiously about what his uncle could be planning. What had Wax missed? He had several theories by the time they reached the door. Edworn stood before it, looking the symbols up and down.
"Push on that one," he said, pointing toward one of the engraved circles. "With allomancy."
Wax cleared everyone back, save Wayne. The shorter man nodded, wearing the bracelet that would let him heal great amounts, speed bubble at the ready in case somehow Edworn planned the activation of the door to be a trap. Wax pushed. Something clicked.
"Now there," Edworn said, pointing. "The one with the triangular shape."
Click.
"Finally, this one,"
Edworn said, tapping one with the back of his hand.
"That's it," Wax said.
"Get them wrong and the thing freezes shut, I'm told,"
Edworn said idly.
"It has a clockwork timer. Won't be ready again for 10 years. You could spend a lifetime guessing and still have only a small chance of opening it."
He looked at Wax and smiled.
"Apparently these symbols spell out something the Lord Ruler would have understood."
Wax glanced back at Alec, who shook his head, baffled.
"They really make no sense to me."
Wax turned around, held his breath, and pushed on the final symbol. It clicked. Then, with a deep scrape of stone on metal, the entire thing slid to the side, opening a path. Edworn stepped toward it, but Wax leveled his gun, causing the man to hesitate.
"I'll have you know," Edworn said, "that I worked a very long time to find what is in this place. It seems unfitting that another should pass that door before me."
"Tough," Wax said, grabbing Telson's shoulder as she tried to slip by him and enter. "Milan?"
"Right,"
the Chondra said. Rusts. She limped as she passed through the door. One of her legs was longer than the other because of the breaks. She said she didn't feel pain, but if she chose to lie to him, he'd never know. She stepped into the other room, which had a soft blue glow coming from it. More of those glass lights in the walls.
"Nothing hit me on the way in,"
she said from within.
"Want me to walk around a bit?"
"Just around the doorway area,"
Wax called to her, gun still held on Edworn.
"Make sure it's safe for us."
They waited a few tense moments. No traps activated in the other room that he could hear.
"How can you wait?" Telson asked. "Knowing what could be back there. A wonder beyond understanding."
"It isn't going anywhere."
"You never want to know what's beyond the door," Telson whispered. "You never did chase the horizon. Where is your curiosity?"
"It's alive and well. The things I'm curious about are simply different from the ones you find exciting."
"All clear,"
Milan said from the other room. Wax nodded for the others to go first, everyone but him and Edworn.
"Stay near the door," he told them.
Once they were inside, he stepped closer to his uncle.
"Threatening," Edworn said, looking him up and down. "You separated us from the others, Waxillium. Planning a little intimidation?"
"I care for the people in that room," Wax said softly. "I suspect more than a monster like you can ever know."
"You think me emotionless,"
Edworn said, his voice stern.
"I tried to spare your life, Waxillium. I argued before the Set on your behalf. There was a time when I loved you like a son."
Wax raised vindication again.
"When we're done with this," Wax said, "you're going to give me names. The others in the Set. I'm going to drag you back to Elendil, and there you'll talk."
"And you'd brutalize me to get those names, no doubt,"
Edworn said.
"I follow the law."
"Which can be changed or bent to suit your needs."
"You call me a monster.
You hate me because I seek rule. And yet you serve those who do the very same things as I. Your Senate,
It strangles the life from children with its economic policies. Edwin stepped forward, a motion which put the barrel of Wax's gun right at his temple. The longer you live, Waxillium, the more you'll know I am right. The difference between good and evil men is not found in the acts they are willing to commit, but merely in what name they are willing to commit them in.
Waxillium? Maracy appeared at the stone doorway. You'll want to see this.
Wax ground his teeth together and felt his eye twitching. He pulled the gun away from his uncle's head and waved it toward the door. Edwin sauntered in, pipe-trailing smoke. Wax followed and entered the solitary room at the center of the fortress-like temple. The dais here was the one depicted in the mural at the temple's entrance. It rose from the center of the room, gilded and slender, with steps leading up to it. On it was a small square pedestal, topped with red velvet and a golden rack, suitable for the display of a precious relic. A soft white light, not blue like those at the sides of the room, shone from above the dais and illuminated the whole thing. The whole empty thing. Shattered glass lay on the floor of the dais. Wax could pick out corners. It was the remains of a glass box that had once topped the pedestal, enshrouding what had lain there. The room was quiet and still, frost on the floor in places, dust disturbed by the opening of the stone door floating in the air. There were no other doors or openings in the walls. "Gone," Wax whispered. "Someone beat us here."